Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 129, and today is Monday, June 10th, 2013. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get going. All right, so I'm coming to you, I guess, it's not quite live, but certainly direct from WWDC. I just got out of the keynote this morning, a few hours ago, and like I did, I think, last year, I'm going to do a quick episode. This is kind of first impressions, and I try and do it right after the keynote. So everything I know at this point is public information. I don't have to worry about the dance I need to do later on as I kind of work through what's public and what's not. And so it's kind of a nice sort of opportunity to do that. And so quick episodes and first impressions hopefully kind of help just kind of give you some context for what I saw at the talk. Hopefully, if you've seen the streams or the live blogs or the various things, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to just kind of assume a little bit that you do. So first, kind of some general impressions. It seemed like Apple was really coming out guns blazing. Like, there's been a lot of speculation and talk about the fact that for the last 6 months or so, they've been very quiet. There's not a lot of product updates, not a lot of news, or nothing. It's basically like Cupertino was just, you know, like DevNull for a couple of months. And it's like, oh, they've been building up this large collection of things that they're all of a sudden going to pour out all at once. So how come, new Macs, both on MacBook Air, Mac Pro, Mac OS X, and big update to iOS. And it's like all of a sudden they're coming out. And throughout the keynote, they were constantly beating on either their competitors. Like, I mean, they probably spent 10, 15 minutes of the keynote just, you know, badgering Google in various ways, in various contexts, in various things. And there's an aggressiveness to it and a feistiness that I thought was kind of interesting to see that's different than I think before. And I wouldn't say they're on the defensive in that way. It's not that they were being like, they were, you know, backed into a corner and they were striking out so much as I feel like they're kind of, Mr. Nice Guy kind of is more the feel that like all of a sudden they're like, you know, we're really good and we really know what we're doing and we're the best and you aren't treating us that way, but we're going to make sure you feel that way after we kind of show you all the different things we're doing and executing on at once. And that's, I think, the message they're trying to get across at a high level, which I think they did fairly well. There's a few things that are a bit odd, but generally I think it was a pretty solid keynote, and I think it hit most of the goals and the hopes that I think a lot of nerds had, a lot of people looking into this who wanted Apple to do something bold, something a bit more interesting, something a bit more outside of what they've been doing before. All right, so moving through the products, skipping over the very strange slot car demo, which didn't really make any sense. The next thing they talked about, I think, mostly was macOS 10. So now we're getting Mavericks is the next one, and it sounds like the next series of macOS 10s are going to be based on places in California. It's a bit of an odd name, but that's, you know, the name is what it is. That doesn't really matter. There's a couple of things that were good there. I mean, a lot of it seemed... It was interesting that they seemed to be doing a fair few things under the hood. It reminded me a lot of Snow Leopard, actually, where a lot of the changes and improvements were more things that users won't notice directly, but they'll notice a lot indirectly. So doing a lot of things with power and performance and those types of things is great for making Macs behave better, but isn't necessarily adding new functionality. You know, the big new functionalities are iBooks and Maps, tagging and a few things like that, which are nice, but you know, they're not bold or major incentives. And obviously, the removal of all the textures from everything, you know, calendar and those types of things are just completely untextured now, which is cool, but it isn't really a dramatic, like in your face kind of change. And so that was good and interesting. I mean, I don't do a huge amount of Mac development, but it's interesting, and I'm glad that they're still working on that, and they seem to be keeping to that goal of kind of doing an update every year. And next, I'm going to talk about the Mac Pro, which I was excited about, mostly just because to some approximation, I'm always going to want the fastest machine I can get. I don't need it necessarily. I mean, development is a fairly computationally intensive process, but I'm not, you know, doing really robust, rigorous, scientific, numerical, or video editing, or those types of things that are truly dependent. But I mean, using the machine that I sit in front of for at least 40 hours a week every day while I'm working, building my apps, I want that to be as fast as possible. And very likely I will buy a new Mac Pro when it comes out later this year that seemed all the products and things were going to be coming out. Exact layout and usage of it was interesting because it's definitely, I think, actually it's much better for me and for a lot of people who kind of in a role like me for maybe people who are using it for professional use, heavy professional users, but not specialty users. So if you're a video editor or someone doing something very specific, the new Mac Pro is probably not great for you. It's all right. It's a nice, fast computer, but you're still probably going to prefer the old one. And it actually wouldn't surprise me if Apple keeps the old Mac Pros around as available for people who really need the old form factor for whatever reason. They need card-based PCI chips or all kinds of – or dual socket or all the things that that old one can do that the new one can't. But for someone like me who just wants a really fast Mac, I'll almost certainly buy one. And I mean, it looked great. It seemed not fast and performant, and so I'm excited about that and look forward to getting one whenever they come out. All right, and lastly, I was just going to talk about iOS 7, which is, I guess, sort of maybe the keynote part of the keynote. And so iOS 7 is a radical departure from iOS 6 in a lot of ways, most clearly and obviously visually and from a user experience perspective. It was the UI is as kind of expected, is dramatically cleaned. I don't know what you would call it. I hate using terms like skeuomorphic or things because like it's really complicated. But basically, it's a very minimal UI, much more much more based on typography rather than on buttons and textures and lighting and those types of things. There's still some of that, but it's very geometric and it's very typographically driven, which is nice. It looked interesting. The icons for some of the apps are a bit odd, but generally speaking, it's a nice. I like that they changed it. Exactly how I'll like it will be dependent on once I actually get my hands on it. And of course, I can't talk about the experience of once I have my hands on it and once I have it because it's under NDA. But suffice it to say, I'm glad that they're driving in that direction. And I think this is actually a blog post that I did last week. I think a lot of apps are going to have to go iOS 7 only because of the dramatic interface and experiential changes that are made here. I think there's a lot of applications who, if you have any amount of anything, almost any UI is going to have to be updated to either be totally custom, and if you want it to look like the old style for whatever reason, or it's going to have to be moved to 100% iOS 7. Or if you have anything kind of in the middle, I think it's going to be really problematic. Thankfully, we have over-the-air updates, and over-the-air updates mean that I imagine they're dramatically a very high proportion of compatible devices will be updated to iOS 7 within a couple of weeks, and so going iOS 7 only at the start isn't probably going to be too crazy of a thing. It'll definitely ruffle a few feathers. They're dropping support for a bunch of old devices, which is always problematic as a developer. You'll get a lot of, they drop support for the 3GS, which isn't, which isn't necessarily unexpected, but it means that, whenever if I go iOS 7 only for my applications, I'm going to get the people who have the 3GS who use my apps who are going to be upset that they can't get any new updates. But that's just kind of the game we're going to have to play, and I'll definitely be talking about that, I'm sure, more over the next coming months as I see how things play out in practice. But I think there's going to be a strong drive to get a lot of iOS 7-only apps and a lot of things coming out this Christmas season. I imagine Apple is probably hoping that there'll be a lot of people who are upgrading their devices to take advantage of it. So that's kind of a big thing. And like I said, it's interesting. I like it. Honestly, as a developer who isn't, I'm not the strongest graphic designer. I like that the goal is more minimal. And not to say that minimal is easy. It takes a lot of graphic design and taste and skill to have a good UI without a lot of components. But it also is something that is possible for someone, I think, like myself, to execute on. It reminds me a lot of the UI in Check the Weather, my weather app, which is very minimal and very clean and very simple. But I think I can execute that in a way that I could never do if I was richly drawing textures and basically doing a lot of graphics work and art, which is just something that I can't do. And so I really like that in this case that I can probably do more of it myself in this environment, or I have more success with that, which makes me excited and happy that that's kind of what users are going to be expecting, rather than having to go the really rich kind of experiences, like something like a Tweetbot, for example. It's a classic example of something that's just really, really graphically intensive that I could never execute without spending a lot of money getting a graphic designer to do that work. And then lastly, about iOS 7, I'm going to talk a little bit about background, the new backgrounding modes, which I think is probably the second most significant developer-facing feature, at least that they announced in the keynote. And backgrounding modes, the biggest parts of those that are so exciting and significant is that finally you can have an application prepared for use immediately after the user launches it. So as again, maybe I'll bring up another example of like check the weather, you know, weather app. It would be what I can do now in theory in iOS 7, but based on what the sound like they did is I can have the app update your weather forecast periodically in the background without the user having to launch the app. And that means that when you launch the app, typically you won't have to wait. You won't have to load new data. It'll just be there. And then the app adapts based on if you're checking your, if you're opening that app and checking the weather, you know, 5-10 times a day, it's going to check your, it's going to do background updates 5 or 10 times a day. If you only check the weather once a day at 7 o'clock every morning, then it'll do it at 6:50 or whatever. Like it's, the way they sounded like they were structuring it, which is really helpful. Or similarly, something like Feed Wrangler. There's a lot of things that I can do there. And even on the push side, potentially, where I can push content into the application without whenever I know it's ready. So on the server side, say I had a concept, this is actually something I've been working on, something called kind of like a watch streams or watch shows on the podcast side. Something to say like, here's a feed that I really care about the content of. So say, for example, it's Apple press releases or something. You know, whenever they announce something new, I want to know about it. And so you watch that feed. What sounds like from what they're doing is I could set up my application so that when that comes in on the server can kick off a notification to all the apps who signed up to know about that. I send out the notification. The app pops up. The app has an opportunity to then go and immediately download it. And so that the next time you launch that app, that content is always there, sort of guaranteed to be there to some definition of guaranteed. And that's really exciting. I think there's a lot of context where that will be very significant and allow for a lot more richer and honestly less frustrating use from users. Where currently, you're always, pretty much my experience across every app I have right now is I'll open up the app, wait 2 seconds, and then use the app. And that 2 seconds is while it's doing a network request. And the only exceptions to that are things like mail, or the system apps that can do backgrounding right now. And so I'm really excited about that. And so I think those are some cool things. It's going to be a lot of work. I think if you're an iOS developer, the next 3 or 4 months, myself included, is going to be very busy. There's going to be a lot to do and a lot of work to get apps updated and ready for iOS 7 because it is such a dramatic move in a way that iOS 6 was not from iOS 5 or iOS 5 was not really from iOS 4. There's, I think, going to be a lot of work to be ready whenever this launches. You know, probably my guess would be early October, just based on the usual schedules for things, but they haven't said that yet. All right, so that was kind of a slightly rambling but hopefully helpful set of first impressions. Like I said, just got out of the keynote. That's what I've been thinking about. I'm kind of amped. I'm kind of jazzed about what I saw, what I think Apple's doing and the direction that they're heading. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'll probably do a couple of episodes this week just talking about some of the other things that they talked about in the keynote. I'll have to just kind of balance that because obviously things become under NDA the rest of the week. And so suddenly I have to balance that and not be talking publicly about things that I'm not supposed to. But otherwise, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, compliments, complaints, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. And otherwise, if you have a great week, if you're out here at WWDC, make sure you say hi. I'm around all week. I'd love to shake your hand and, you know, just sort of get to know you, put a face to some of the people who listen to the show. And otherwise, I hope you're at home merrily coding, enjoying the betas, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.